Rock, rock, rock me, mama.
Oh, on the topic of poop.
Poop.
Welcome to Rock Me Mama. I'm Macy.
And I'm Amy. Welcome back. And
I'm breastfeeding.
How are you guys? How are you doing? How's life? What's happening? Rudy just farted really bad.
So yeah. Loud.
I still smell it. Oh, Lord have mercy. My mic.
Oh, my gosh. Microphone just almost fell on Rudy's head.
So I'm okay. To be honest, I've kind of felt like a crazy person the last couple days.
Really?
Yeah. I decided birth control pills are a no-go, so I'm not.
Oh, did you start?
Yeah, I finished a pack, and I'm not going to continue.
Yeah, birth control fucks me up.
Yeah.
And it could not be that, but I'm like, anything I can blame and just, like, cut out like that, I'm just like, okay.
It's like,
yeah.
Probably for sure that.
I think also, like, someone that's as educated as you about your cycle can, you can just not be on something.
Yeah.
And not have sex when you know the times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
What's hard is that this postpartum window when you haven't really gotten a regular cycle back.
Yeah, you don't know.
Damn. I guess we'll just have to practice abstinence.
Oh, man, that sounds great.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have just been mating like bunnies over there, right?
Oh, yeah. One time since Rudy was born.
I mean, how often do we in the girl chat, in our mom chat, talk about how little we care about sex? And I know that this is like, oh, women get so up in arms whenever we talk. Oh,
here we go.
To be fair, though, all of us are recently postpartum. Postpartum, yeah. Too, yeah. Though. So,
and we all do have sex with our partners. Yeah. We just don't want to.
I had sex three times with Chase this last weekend.
Oh, because you guys were, like, drunk and on
we
vacation.
We had a kid-free weekend.
Okay, that's different. When you have a kid-free weekend and you're out of your normal element, it's sexy.
No kids is an aphrodisiac.
No kids straight is sexy.
Up. Like, yeah. Straight up.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So I agree.
But
if I could just not have sex and, like, instead drink wine and eat cheese, I would happily do that.
Yeah. No, but I do know that this is a phase, and it seems long because it's like, okay, our kid is 2 years old. But then it's like, okay, then you're all busy, and then it kind of gets back to normal, and then you get pregnant again, at least in my case.
Same.
And then so now we're kind of starting over, so then, you know, he's just, like, withering away. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm actually all set, but
like,
I do hear you.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
I think men just want to have sex a lot more than most women, not all. I know there's lots of horny people.
They just want it more, and I totally get that.
Yeah,
and
I would be perfectly happy to have sex like six times a year.
Once every
Sometimes
other month.
I want, every once in a while I want it. Like the other night I was like, you know, I was feeling it. I got a little poke and I was like, all right, poke away.
I look
every blue moon in the middle of the night, I'm like, poke away.
Middle of the night.
Poke away. Ooh, I do. I live.
Middle of the night. If there's, if you both,
if you can like sync up.
Yeah.
Well, the man is always. Oh no, I do. I live for a middle chase.
Like a random.
And try
it. I think it's more sexy. It's spontaneous.
Yeah. You're asleep.
Well, you're asleep. Yes. But like, if they're poking, if they're just kind of like doing the pokey poke
in the middle of the night while you're sleeping, you wake up.
They snuggle you. They spoon you.
No, yeah. We don't do that.
We don't fall asleep spooning, but like if Nick's, especially if he's like, you know, had a drink or two, he'll come in bed. I go to sleep earlier than him because I'm always reading and like I like alone time. So he'll be like watching, now it's March Madness, all day and all night.
Yeah.
So he'll come in later and just like, you know, every once in a while, not all the time because he's smart, but like, he'll come behind me and just give me a little snuggle, and then I'll feel that he's like wanting to dunk. And then I'm like, if I'm into it, I'm like, okay, I can handle this.
Chase is going to listen and be like, oh, so that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Listen, sir, I'm still breastfeeding. So pause.
You're like, hold that thought.
A freaking second. But when I'm like not pregnant or not postpartum or not breastfeeding, I do, it's the spontaneity of it.
Yeah.
Something feels a little crazy about
back
it.
Back up. Macy, this one's for you. Amy, I get that. But also, if you're already asleep, I don't get it.
But I'm not asleep.
Okay, got it. You're just
I'm like just
relaxation.
Laying relaxation. Yeah.
Same thing. Macy.
Same thing.
Macy, Do you wake up out of your slumber?
Yeah.
And do it like in the like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
like,
and then you just go back to sleep. Well, you like, you know.
Well, you like have to pee. Aww. The annoying part is you have to like pee. And
there's like no shame. So it's not, I'm not saying this from a place of shame. I'm saying it from a place of, what?
I have, that hasn't happened.
No, it doesn't. It's not actually, like, it's not a, like often that this happens. It's an every blue moon.
Yeah.
Bill does not do the rollover touch.
Because
thing.
He knows he goes, that you're, he knows that no, you're not no, wanting to right
he'd
now.
He'd be like, I want to do it.
No, he'd go,
Schmello.
Schmello.
You know when I don't like it though? It if it's past 4 a.m., absolutely not, because that's too close
to when I'm waking up.
Sure, sure. You know? That's
then
so
I'm
fair.
Like, get the fuck off of
the
me.
The best, yeah.
Check
but
the clock.
If it's like 12 to 2,
midnight,
maybe?
One, yeah.
3 is pushing.
Yeah.
But like right now, like 2 nights ago, Wyatt randomly woke up at 3 a.m. That's the only wake-up call I need right now.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm talking
we're not
like,
following the same rules right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm talking when I'm... I do. I look forward to the day when there's no baby suckling me or bucking up my hormones.
I can't be suckled and...
That I can actually, like, be excited to, like...
Yeah.
I have this, like, idea that when I'm closer to 40, I'm going to have this, like, surge of just, like... horniness.
They say that. You,
I know. No, I know. Right? I know.
You might.
And men,
I know. Okay, to be fair, you have been pregnant. And it, like, you're approaching 40.
Yeah.
Your hormones were where ours were.
Yeah.
So you don't count.
Okay. But, like...
But I have heard from 40-year-olds.
I think it's more that you know how to, like, orgasm easier.
That could be
and
it,
And you
too.
Know how to, like, you know, you're just... I think you give less fucks.
Yeah, that could be it, too.
You're not worried about, like, performative sex or looking good. You're just
right.
like, how do I get off?
Right.
You know, and, like, how do you help?
But I do help. Look forward to that time,
I did
though.
Read that men's, like, sexual, like, horniest prime is, like, in their 20s or something.
Yeah.
And women's
and their
is,
worst
like,
is
15 years later.
Well, I think the worst for men is, like... approaching 40. So I feel like women are like, let's fuck. And men are like, need help. And it doesn't match up, but I don't know.
It just seems like all of us should just stop having sex.
My abstinence. Husband, Nick, literally says, if there's ever a day in his life that I say no, or that he says no to me, wanting if I want to have sex and he says no, he says to take him out back and shoot him.
Oh my God.
That's
gosh.
How passionately he feels about sex.
Yeah.
He will never imagine a time that he's not ready to go at any moment.
Well, good for him.
Bill's probably the same way.
He's just like that. And like the thing that, the reason that like middle of the night is kind of like more preferable or morning every once in a while, not with the way our daughter is because she's up at fucking 5 and it's like, there is no morning. But I just don't like the... Do we have sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get into it.
No, that's what I hate
not
too.
At all. Mornings and, I'm on board with.
Yeah.
Sure.
And like also Nick will sometimes just be like, you interested in having sex?
Or
he's like, I'm really horny. Like, can I have sex with you? And I'm like, sure.
I'm really
horny. Can I have sex with you?
And then after he'll be like,
I?
Thank you.
Oh Lord. Well, at
May
least
I says, thank you.
As he should.
Yeah. He says thank you. And I'm like, no problem. That's, I say no problem.
You know what line he should try?
Oh, so good.
What?
You got 10 minutes,
minutes
for
your
boy. Works like a charm.
Oh, man. I don't feel bad for them, though. I don't feel bad for men. Really don't. Really don't.
Like, they don't have to go through pregnancy.
Aw, you're it's so sad. It's so sad. Okay, I'm purposely kind of being a little biatch because Bill is 2 feet away from me.
But
also, like, it's so sad.
Oh. Hey, just wait till we turn 40.
Yeah.
And wait till...
You guys are just... And I'm 50.
Amy, yeah. Give yourself
when you guys turn 40, I'll be 800.
No. You'll be 49. For me?
No, for Morgan. If Morgan turns 40, I'll 52. Be 52.
That's so
like,
crazy.
And do you understand that J-Lo is 50 something right now? And
my mom is 53.
Your mom is 53? Now. That's so young.
She'll be 54 in July.
Damn. Oh my God. I guess my mom was too. And
hey, Cameron Diaz just had a baby. She's 51.
51.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wait,
that's
did
awesome.
We look it up? Did she have the baby?
Oh, true.
Was it surrogate or did she have?
I mean,
Yeah, what's her name?
Your hands are full. I'll fact check.
Fact check.
Let's see.
Who's the other
I do
one?
Love Cameron Diaz.
The other one? Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, Naomi Campbell. That
we, oh my God, we covered that, honey.
But we found out that, it wasn't actually...
It was a surrogate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cameron Diaz, baby. With who? I act like her I would be normal for me to know
Benji Madden.
Oh, she's still with Benji Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
don't know who that is.
He was one of the singers of Good Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, I do know who that is.
God, I fucking hated really Good Charlotte. They were bad.
They did have a few good songs though. I'm not
Bill's
really
like,
sure.
I love Good Charlotte. I bet my husband liked Good Charlotte. I don't really know. I'm
if
just
she had or not. We'll have to fact check later. I'll spend too much time looking. Yeah. So what were we gonna talk about today?
Oh, I had
grief.
We were gonna talk about grief and being a mom because mm-hmm. I had a best friend die recently. Like 2 weeks ago, a few weeks ago.
Not even, right? It'll be 2 weeks
when
tomorrow.
When this comes out, it will
be. Oh, right, yeah.
But one of my childhood best friends that I grew up with and that I still talked to, I mean, she died on Wednesday and I talked to her on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have been having such a hard time momming.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been so awful to kind of, I feel like, I was telling you guys, like, I know I've cried on this show, but I do not like crying in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like crying. And I don't like showing. I mean, I'm very much someone that, like, just jokes about everything. And honestly, Alex was one of those people, too. She was really sick, and we were joking literally up until the end. But...
And to clarify, when you say sick, you mean literally physically ill.
She had...
not like sick in the
She had encephalitis.
Yeah.
So she got COVID in 2021. And a few weeks or a month after getting COVID, she started getting really fucking weird symptoms. Like she went for a run and she didn't know where she was. And she would she was really physically active and she would run all the time. And she just would, like, not know where she was, which is got to be so scary,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she was my age. But then she started having, like, heart palpitations. And this happened to my cousin Olivia, too. After COVID, she has had a elevated heart rate since.
Really?
Yeah. They had to do a C-section with her. Like, COVID has, my friend Will has respiratory problems. He's in and out of the hospital. COVID has had... lasting effects for a lot of people that doctors just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, COVID's such a new
virus,
such a new thing that like they don't know what happens later on when you've had COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying. So anyway, she would go and not know where she was. She told me that her hands and feet felt tingly and like she had gloves and boots on at all times, and that her head felt like she had a helmet on.
That's enough to drive you
so
crazy.
Insane. And then she had like major brain fog, so she would like lose her train of thought. She wasn't able to like appropriately feel feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So she would know that something like hurt, but she was like, I don't feel that.
Yeah.
And so she stopped having the ability to be, she didn't get triggered to be hungry. So she didn't ever want food. And then she was never tired. So imagine like, you're never tired. You're never hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You have constant anxiety. You have brain fog. And so she went to multiple doctors. She got tested for Lyme and she ended up having Lyme. So she was like, okay, this is it. Mm-hmm. I have Lyme. Because Lyme, I feel like Lyme is one of those things that, like, if no one knows what you have, they basically diagnose you with Lyme.
Yeah.
But you do have to test positive for Lyme. But, so she got treated for that. It didn't work. Then she went to every doctor. I mean, she went to Cornell. Her tests, her labs were sent to the Mayo Clinic. Like, she, NYU, all over New York, all over Connecticut, every single major doctor and hospital she went to for the last three and a half, almost 4 years. And it just didn't get better.
Yeah.
And she just got sicker and sicker. And she knew she was going to die. And she told me and we talked about it. And we said all the things that you're supposed to say. But it doesn't make it any easier.
Mm-hmm.
I've never lost a best friend.
Yeah.
I've ever. And I've lost people. People have died. But I've never had someone where I just feel like texting her and she's not there.
Yeah.
And so basically all the last couple of weeks, I've really leaned on Nick a lot because like I don't have the emotional strength to deal with Farah at a level 12.
Yeah.
You know, waking up and wanting to play the whole day because it's all I can think about.
Yeah.
And it just really is... I don't know. I'm having a hard time like having somebody just cease to exist.
Yeah.
Like, I know not everybody's like a household name and not everybody gets like a documentary or a book or whatever, but like, it's really hard for me to have somebody die at 41 years old and that's just it.
Yeah.
Like, she's done. That's it.
Yeah.
We're just not going to talk about her. Like, we're not.
Right.
That's all she gets. So I feel like compelled to like, I don't know, maybe find more out about her or just like keep her alive.
Yeah.
Because it's devastating to think that like, and she was, when we would talk about it recently, she's like, I fucking drank the green juice.
Yeah.
I fucking went on runs every day. I didn't, and she was the one with all of our friends that was like, never got as fucked up, like never drank that much, never. She was always kind of more naturally high and crazy. She was fucking nuts. She was like someone that people definitely were like, that bitch is crazy.
Yeah.
But in the best way. But she was never someone that lived in a way that you would have thought, oh, she might get sick. Like she was the healthiest person.
Yeah.
So it's just insanely sad.
Have you, excuse me, because grief is something that, you know, at some point I think we will all live with. I guess, you know, we're not always going to, if some of us are lucky enough, we may not deal with it when our children are super young. But like right now, Farah is. Have you told her mommy's sad? Like, have you explained?
I've told her mommy's sad on different occasions. Like when I was really struggling with my mental health before I got back on my medications.
Yeah.
I was just visibly crying in front of her.
Yeah.
Fairly often, which was really like shame. I was very ashamed of that. And those are the times that I would say, you know, mommy's sad.
Yeah.
And it, you know, she would ask me. I haven't cried in front of her about this because I have been crying alone.
Yeah.
But I do think that it does bring up the point of loss and how do we approach loss?
That was my next question.
With our children.
Yeah. I was going to ask just if you have explained that to her because they are old enough to at least understand emotions.
Yeah.
But the next conversation, because with all of this happening with you and Alex, it's made me like, it's made me realize that the conversation of death is going to happen with our kids at some point. And most likely it's going to be because of somebody that they know.
Yeah.
And if I like let my mind go there, I will like start crying because I'll start thinking of like the what ifs and the specifics of people. But that's a conversation that we're going to have with our kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, you know.
Well, and that's a conversation that like, and this makes me a complete hypocrite, but I do think there are ways to deal with loss and death with children that are different than adults.
Sure.
And I have friends that really like kind of are just so brutally realist with their children, and that's cool. I don't feel like that's how I'm going to, I think I am going to be like heaven and they're happy and they're up there and God took care of them.
Yeah.
And because A, that's what she's learning in her little school.
Yeah.
But also I think there's comfort in that and it doesn't really matter what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like if someone were to die and it would affect her, even when we tell the story about Cinderella, which she makes me tell her the story of Cinderella every night.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Cinderella's mommy went to heaven.
Yeah.
And then Cinderella's daddy went to heaven.
Yeah.
And her evil stepmother treated her terribly because her end was from hell. But that's what I say.
Yeah.
And I'm, you guys know, not religious at all. But I do think with children, just like, you know, even if you're not, even if you don't believe in Christmas or Santa Claus, like, you're not going to tell, you're not going to let your kid,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
At least, like, have a childhood where they believe in the tooth fairy and silly things.
Yeah, I feel
like
that.
If they ask and, like, telling them in a way that they're going to, like, they're not going to fully comprehend it, but, like, comprehend it as much as they need to without it being, like, you're overstepping into, like, their childhood.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know what I mean?
But it's hard because, I mean, really, and I haven't thought about this until...
Yeah.
Your situation.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad. I'm not.
You're glad, you know, my friend. I'm just kidding.
No,
it's something
thankful,
we have to think about.
I guess that this wasn't something that caught me off guard because, or like that this topic didn't, like it didn't happen and I'd have to like come up with the answer for it on the spot. So now it's almost made me think like, oh, this is going to be something that I will have to discuss with E.
Yeah.
And, like, I kind of want to be prepared because because we'll say they went to heaven and they're with God. And, you know, if it's somebody that we knew dearly, then like they're watching over. Like, you know, I do want to say that. But I think like getting the point across to them of they are no longer
here
feels daunting to have to explain.
Well, I mean, Nick lost his father when Farrah was 5 months old, five months old. And he was dying pretty much her whole life or most of her life. And she has a deep connection to him because there's pictures of him everywhere. And my husband is so still grieving so much. I mean, there's rarely a night that we don't talk about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if Nick has more than a couple drinks, he cries about his dad.
Yeah.
You know, he's not anywhere near okay. He's not okay. And none of us would be.
Yeah.
But,
God, no.
So I'm trying to think of how we approach it with her because we do talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
We just say, like, Grandpa Tony.
Yeah.
And I think we say is in heaven. I don't know exactly what we say, but she knows about him and he's brought up, he's kept alive in our house.
Yeah.
So I think that's one way to just kind of like keep someone alive and remember them. I think my first real loss was our dog and then my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like devastated about both. Because I really couldn't understand death. Like, it was just like, how could this person or this thing be here and then not be here?
I do remember.
Traumatizing for children to lose people.
I remember my dad's mom died. I don't know how old I was. I couldn't have been, I don't know, I would need to ask. I was at least 6, probably. But I remember where I was standing, how my dad was looking at me, how he was holding me. And I laughed. I thought I said, you're just joking, Dad. He said, no.
Yeah.
Mimi's gone. And it's so crazy because like, that's the extent of that. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I immediately started crying once I comprehended it.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy that like actually is one of the first memories I have.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes to show you how impactful learning that somebody in your life, especially as a little kid, dying is, I mean, it makes a big impact.
Oh, yeah. It was when my grandmother died, she had been living with, she was living with us for a little while. And I remember, I remember her coming into the kitchen and her hand shaking. And I remember my parents acting weird and kind of like shuttling us away.
Yeah.
And then after that, she was in the hospital and off and on, and then she died. But, like, I was deeply affected because mm-hmm. she was so close with us and she yeah. was living with us. And it was like, so I could not. And I was in fourth or fifth grade. So I was probably 10 or mm-hmm. 11. I don't know how old, 10 maybe.
Probably.
But even at 10, I was fucked up about it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't imagine living without someone. And I'm not someone that adjusts well to like loss.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you're a mom, you just have to keep it moving, which I'm finding with, really fucking so hard. Is.
Yeah.
Like to just like, okay, Alex is dead. I can't talk to her anymore.
Yeah.
And I just have to like wake up and play and work
yeah.
and do all these things. And it feels like almost like you're offensive to her. That's like, I'm not stopping my world. I can't stop my world.
But I do think you are, for I've said this to you like 3 times already. And my dad is actually the one who said this to me. There's no right way to grieve. Yeah. Like whatever way you're needing to grieve yeah. is okay. There's yeah. no right way to do it. It's not like you have to stop everything and
yeah.
pay her this credible, you know,
I feel
know,
like
whatever.
I have to. Like, I, right. you know what I mean?
But
I feel like it's wrong to keep moving on to like laugh or do something I enjoy.
Yeah. But I do know like you are, I know that you're grieving. Like yeah. you've been distant. You have taken the time.
Yeah. I have not been wanting to hang out.
Yeah.
With
and I like, there have been a few times where you had talked about hanging out and then you were like, you know what? I think I like need this time to grieve. Yeah. Like I'm by myself. And so like you are
yeah.
doing it. It's just, it has to be on a different
it's
time.
Be when
it's
she's
not like you
not
get
around.
To
yeah.
stop and just do it. So I think that while it may not, sorry, while it may not feel like you're doing it, quote unquote, the right way.
Yeah.
You're still doing it how it works for you right now.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do.
It's hard when your internal, like your head, like inside like your mind and your heart are like one way, like thinking one way or feeling one way, but then externally yeah. you still have to like keep
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Like whether it be for like friends or like husband or mm-hmm. but you know, in this situation a lot of times it is your kid.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean I think that's doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't feel
yeah.
that way is like, you know, giving her the fact that you're so strong that you can still give her the consistency. Not mm-hmm. that I would say you failed if you didn't, if you just yeah. hold yeah. up for days, but the fact that you are, I think, is doing it the right way,
yeah.
quote
yeah.
unquote, right way.
Yeah.
And is, you know, going to be something that, you know, you can talk to her about one day and,
yeah.
you know, maybe partly because she's so young, but, you know, she would probably be like, oh, I had no idea you were
yeah,
hurting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she yeah. definitely doesn't.
And, like, the ability to, like, make the choice to protect her from knowing mm-hmm. that. I think it's important for kids to know emotions and know
yeah.
Yeah.
that you're human and stuff like that. But, like, being able to protect her from that yeah. at this age, I feel like it's just, I mean,
yeah.
it's not easy.
No, it's not
and
easy.
And then relying on the people that you know understand,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
if we
yep.
text you tomorrow morning and say, hey, let's meet up at Dose, and you're like, honestly, kind of need some time, then
yeah.
like, we'll be like, good, take it,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like.
It's weird, like, you know when you, and you, I think all women do this with their husbands or partners, like, you really want them to ask you,
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
want to talk, but then you also really fucking don't.
Yeah.
And it's like so confusing for them and it's confusing for you.
Yeah.
And Nick keeps being like, do you want to talk about her? And I have talked to him about her a lot, but I feel like this really weird just contrast of emotions of just like, I want to be asked and I want to be consoled, but I actually just don't want to be around anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the overwhelming feeling is that I want to be left alone.
Yeah.
And you can't be left alone when you're a mom.
Yeah.
You can't.
You just literally possible. Cannot
really
be left alone.
You really can't.
And it also just makes me think, like, for her mother, you know.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She's only 41. Like, for her mother, and I just can't imagine losing a child. I cannot. No. At any age. I cannot imagine losing a child in their 40s. I mean, you're not supposed to outlive your kids.
You've known your kid for 41 years.
You're not supposed to outlive your kid.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I don't even want to imagine.
I've been wanting to call her, and I have her number, and I've been saying I'm going to do it every single day, and I haven't yet. And it's
so
like
fresh.
Yeah, I think that's the fine. Thing is,
I know that you're probably like, oh well, you know, she lost a child. Like, why shouldn't I just be able to call her?
Yeah.
You know, but it's like you lost a close friend.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, the contrasting emotions. Like I've lost people growing up, like people my age that I was close to, people older, people I knew, whatever, family. And those contrasting emotions are that's just so real. Mm-hmm. And it truly is just one day at a time. And it's like one day you wake up and you're like, oh, today's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be in it while it's there.
Yeah. You gotta
feel
while
you're in it.
And I'm happy for her that she's at peace.
Yeah.
Because she was really, that was no way for her to live. She couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. It was so awful to be like this vibrant person and then have no way of even taking care of yourself and not being able to like, and losing your mind and losing your body. And she was skin on bone and losing her hair. I mean, she wouldn't let any of us see her. Like, I hadn't seen her in years. She wouldn't even talk to me on the phone at the end. The last few months we just texted, I sent her some videos of like me talking in the car to her and she was like, I love seeing you, but she would not send me anything. She sent me a couple pictures of her, but that I knew were old. But she just wasn't herself, and it's just not fair. Like, mm-hmm. it's not fair. You know, it's not fair. No. And anyway.
Well, you're allowed to grieve however long and whichever way you need to.
Yeah.
And I do. I mean, you know that we're here for you however we can be, but
thank you.
Do know that you are still doing, like, Farrah doesn't know what's going on. And you know what? If it does show and she asks if you're okay, then you can say, mommy's sad.
Yeah.
And I think that if you feel like it's too early to maybe have the conversation, she didn't know Alex. So
no, she didn't know
maybe
Alex.
If it's too early to feel like, if it feels too early to have that conversation with her, then you can just say, mommy's having a hard day. Like, I'm sad. You know, it's not like you have to sit her down right there and be like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel that out. But I do think it's like, you are human.
Yeah.
Farrah is not only allowed to, but should see your emotions.
Yeah.
And so if there's one day where you just can't wait until she's at school or wait until it's the end of the day and you crack and need to cry, then
she'll
comfort you. Yeah. I mean,
she's very
will understand.
Sweet and
smart girl.
She is. Yeah, she cares.
But I mean, that's like they learn emotions because of us, you know?
Yeah.
So
I don't know why I'm so fucking weird about crying. Like, I don't know why I'm like, I like hid in the bathroom and listened to music and was hysterically crying the other night. And Nick finally, after like an hour, was like, are you okay?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I'm okay. I'm just crying. And he's like, why are you crying in the bathroom?
Yeah.
And it's just because, like, I don't want to do it in front of you.
Yeah.
It's something with me. I don't know what it is. I'm sure a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something with me that
I'm
just...
I'm glad you're crying at all, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it at all.
I'm fucking crying.
Yeah.
I'm mostly crying to songs that we loved and stuff. Because at the end, she sent me a lot of songs and a lot of poems. So I'm just, like, kind of reliving and, like, going through old conversations and, like, listening to the stuff that we loved.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just making me... It's all very deep. I mean, she was definitely having those feelings of, like, I'm not going to be around. So she said a lot of those kind of goodbye type things, you know? I knew that she was going to go, but I didn't know exactly when.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff to reflect back on.
Yeah.
Fucking heavy shit. Yeah. Heavy shit.
Yeah.
We're here for you.
Thank you.
Serious, like, not, that sounds so, like,
no,
surface
we're
level,
here for you.
But
no,
I know.
I know you guys
that.
Are. I know you guys are.
Well, and I'm just, and that's, like, another, like, village thing is, like, man, I got to be better about being there for my friends. It's like it's so hard because it's like you're just like in your own
thing.
But it's like So?
Well, our other best friend that we grew up with who's been on the show, Megan, she hadn't kept as much in touch with Alex, and she's fucking feeling it. And I'm like, Meg, you have 3 kids.
Yeah.
And a fucking intense career.
Yeah.
You are so tired
and a husband, and
you guys didn't have that much in common anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She was responsible to reach out as well, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, but I just should have and blah, blah, blah. And I was
She's going to feel that though. Babe, I mean, and I'm not saying she should,
but
I immediately, when you were telling me this, I was like, I bet she's, because I know
she's devastated.
Any human would
she's feel devastated.
That way, you know? I mean, it's.
But there's nothing.
There's
that,
nothing she could have done differently though.
People grow apart.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when we were all the closest were the most formative years. Mm-hmm. I mean, our childhood, our teens, our 20s, the times when you're finding out who the fuck you might be.
Yep.
And like, you know, we used to pee our pants laughing constantly. We always peed. I don't know why we peed. We always peed. She was a peer.
And she was a peer.
I mean, she just did the funniest shit. She was the funniest person. She, even at the end, she was the funniest fucking person. So like, it's a major loss. She's not somebody that you meet every day. She was totally one of a kind and like creative and fucking gorgeous, like so beautiful, and didn't wear makeup and just was like natural and didn't care about social media, which I totally envy. Like, just didn't care.
Yeah.
Didn't have to be, like, fucking relevant. Didn't have to be fucking present. Didn't have to be everywhere all the time. Like, didn't need that attention. And I respect that so much.
Yeah,
you know? No, and I just, like, I loved that about her. But it also makes it so easy for her to disappear.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate that. Luckily, we took so many goddamn pictures when we were really young.
Yeah.
That's just like flip, you know, just like those little throwaway cameras. Like we took so many of those. And her friend Lizzie, her best friend in the whole world. Lizzie has a ton of shit that she keeps posting. And I'm like, these are giving me life.
Yeah.
Because they're so fun. There's not one picture of this girl where she's not doing something fucking weird and funny. She just didn't know how to, she was never going to pose and smile.
Yeah.
When we were little, she was, you know, but after, once we became like teens, she was just a fucking clown.
But like what you're doing right now is also a way of like grieving and celebrating her. Yeah. You know, like talk about her.
Yeah. Awesome to hear about her.
Yeah. And it's like fun for us to like hear stories about her.
It is.
She's like sharing the pictures, keep telling us stories.
Yeah.
I know the like three times that you've brought her up, you've like told a different story.
I have so many funny stories. We used to sneak out of my house and wait for like our friends to pick us up like at the end of my driveway before we started stealing my mom's car. And she would just fucking crouch down and pee on the street. And like there would be cars driving by and we would be dying laughing. She did not give a shit.
Yeah.
Peer.
Hey, we would do Ouija board together and she would always push it and be like, ooh. And and me and Megan would be like, oh my God, there's a spirit. And she would just be doing it the whole time.
Yeah. Doing what you're doing, I think, is.
She was just fucking hilarious.
I keep talking about her and.
Yeah. Anyway,
share about her. That helps her live on.
Sorry to bring everybody down.
I know our last
cut out the sorry, Bill. Cut out. We're editing out.
Yeah, there's no need for sorry.
Don't even dare.
Well, I love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week for Rock Me Mama.
Yes, love y'all.
Bye.
Rock me, Mama.